Morning, everybody. How's it going? Albert J. Hernandez, but you can call me the Untamed Chef. Welcome to Grilling Ideas Radio. We are glad to have you. Everybody's probably getting ready for work. If you're on the eastern part of our beautiful United States, you're probably just trying to wake up still, depending on what you do for a living. If you're a chef, you've been up very, very early, and you are already doing about 100 things. So welcome. So it's been a bit of a brief absence since we've all last got together on the show. I've been doing a lot of traveling. The first season of the television show is done, which is really, really cool. And I got to tell you guys, I really appreciate that show so much because, oh my goodness, we are really going to break down my whole trip to New York, everything from leaving the airport here in Fresno to everything we had to undergo to make this this show happen. But I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for everybody's kind words and prayers and consideration of just mentioning me wherever you can. The fan base is growing really, really big now, and I am truly honored to be able to be here with everybody and be able to share my love for what I love more than anything in the world other than my faith and family is food. And the dishes we made on the show are absolutely gorgeous. They're an amazing representation of what the Untamed Chef is and how to release the Untamed Chef in all of us. So the very first thing I want to do is thank all of my sponsors, every single business person who saw this opportunity to make it possible for the Untamed Chef television show. And I especially want to thank Grilling Ideas Radio, to Mr. Grilling Ideas himself, to Carolyn, to Lori, to everybody who helps to make this show what it is, because it really is something special to me. And it's something I take very serious to make sure you guys get the best of what the Untamed Chef has to offer. Now, if my words are dragging a little bit, I apologize. We do have a new time now. We're on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock in the morning at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And realistically speaking, I feel pumped up. I'm ready to give the best show of my life. So here we go. Okay, so we start off in Fresno, California. We are at the airport. And it is, it's funny because the Fresno area airport is smaller. So you would think, you know, hey, this is going to be just real easy. It was absolutely horrific. And, you know, God bless everybody at the Fresno airport if they're doing the best they can. Typically speaking, though, when you walk into an airport, there's nothing but a bunch of, you know, it seems like a bunch of young adults, you know, probably in their early 20s. Then you kind of know you're going to be in for a long day. But they did figure out a way to get my flight. So my first flight is this. I don't fly a lot on airplanes. So when you show up at the airport, your flight is leaving at 10:45 in the morning. And you think, okay, I got her at 10:30. Yeah, that's a big no-no because realistically speaking, you're supposed to show up at an airport 2 hours early, which I learned very much the hard way. However, I made it through everything I needed to get through. I had my boarding pass, everything. The plane was still there, and it left without me. They must have gave my seat away, and I guess, you know, I kind of asked for that, so I'm not going to hold the airport responsible for that. You know, everybody was like, oh, we've been here since 5 o'clock, we've been here since this clock, so I understand where I made a mistake there. So I ended up spending, my wife tells her work. She's just taking the day to take me to the airport. My sons are with me so I could spend time with them before I get on that plane. She ends up waiting in the parking lot of the airport for 2 hours while they're redirecting my flight and figuring out another way to get me to New York, because I'm supposed to arrive into New York, JFK Airport. I'm supposed to be there at 9 o'clock in the morning, or 5 o'clock in the morning. We're supposed to start shooting at 9 o'clock. Well, that didn't happen. Obviously, you guys could already tell where this story is going. So I get into, I we finally leave Fresno. I head into Phoenix. I have a 6 hour layover in Phoenix. And anybody who flies just knows that airport or the airplane, it's you just you the minute you get off an airplane, you want to just take a shower. Now, this is a special shout out to all my Arizona family out there. Thanks for visiting me. And I mean that in the most sarcastic way, because not one of you showed up at the damn airport just to say, "Hey, Albert, how's it going?" So, if you don't get a Christmas card from me this year, nothing personal. Yeah, maybe it is. Well, anyways, yeah, it's nothing. I'm not that kind of person. I just was really a little bit disappointed. I figured, okay, my whole family on my father's side is from Arizona, and they probably live about 15 minutes away from the airport, but I guess they have something more important to do, like sleep. Anyways. So I get there to the airport, and Sky Harbor is an interesting airport. It's one of these big, it looks like it's like a little city, and I personally I like it. They have some decent restaurants. They're not open at 1 o'clock in the morning, so I didn't really get to try them. But oh, you know what? There was one place open. There was this soup place open, and it was really good. I can't remember what it was, and I had me a decent bowl of my favorite soup in the whole world is French onion soup. I didn't get that, obviously. I end up getting a bowl of, I don't know, it's like potato and cheddar or something like that. And it's funny because I'm eating this bowl of soup in the Panda Express that's closed down, and they're all cleaning up and stuff. Like, sir, oh, you can't be here. And I'm delirious. I'm tired. And the last thing I need is someone to tell me, you cannot be here. So I just said, you know what? I'll clean it up afterwards, go on with their day, and there it is. So I eat, I clean up. I'm usually a pretty clean eater when I know I have to be. So a 6 hour layover in Phoenix. I end up having to take a shower at this there's actually a shower there at Sky Harbor in the family restroom. Like for the little kids who pee their pants and stuff, you know, they have a shower to clean them up. Now, what they don't tell you at Sky Harbor is that when you take a shower at 2:30 in the morning at the airport, the water is cold. So on top of the day I'm having already, and like I said, you guys are worth it because the Untamed Chef television show deserves to be for all of my fans and all of my audience and for the world. This is the cooking show we've been waiting for our whole lives because it is very educational, it's very informative, and it takes any and everybody who wants to learn how to cook. It really puts you right there in the spotlight, and this is exactly what you deserve. Remember, if you want to get a lot in this world, you have to give a lot back to this world. And this is my way of giving back by ha on behalf of my wife and my children and myself, obviously. You know, and Grilling Ideas and Foodie TV, this is our way of saying, you know what, we hear your cry for wanting to learn how to cook real food. And I promise you, when this show starts in 2015, you're going to be like, I can't believe all the stuff the chef went through. And it was worth it. It was so worth it. But let's get back to everything because it's still not over. Okay, so Sky Harbor, I take my shower, cold water. I don't know what it is. Maybe when you take a shower in cold water, you really don't feel clean. But that's kind of how I felt. So I took my shower. I got all spiffed up. I had a 6 hour layover. The next flight I took was into Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas Airport. So when we get to Dallas, I had a 2 hour layover there. And by now, I mean, you guys remember, I'm really not sleep. I didn't sleep at the airport at all. Just because, I mean, I've heard so many stories about airports, you know. And not only that, but when you get there so late, nobody's walking. There's no security. There's one security guard walking around an airport the size of a small town. So it's like, you know what? I'm just gonna relax and and I think I'll be okay. And I was good. I watched the movie Elf, so thank you, Will Ferrell, for that, because that was very entertaining. And thanks to my amazing son Adam, who put the movie in my briefcase, because I didn't even realize it was there. So we finally board the plane. I'm supposed to be heading into Kennedy Airport, and that flight is delayed as well. So now I'm going to be arriving into Kennedy. Oh my goodness. I arrived into Kennedy at 3:45 p.m., which means if I had started at 9, we were supposed to stop shooting after 5. I was almost 8 hours completely delayed. So when I arrive into Kennedy Airport, here's the funny thing is, I'm from California. Where I'm from, you could wear a fleece sweater and you could get away with it anywhere you're at here in this wonderful state. When you get into New York and it's 34 degrees, a fleece almost feels like you're wearing a really, really thin t-shirt that's long sleeve, and the air just goes right through it. So now I'm tired, hungry, delirious, dirty. I felt dirty while I took a shower, and freezing my butt off now. And it was so funny because I'm trying to grasp the whole concept of everything that's going on here. And maybe it was, sleep deprivation that was keeping me from wanting to maybe cry about this whole thing. Because I know a lot of people who would have been like, what the heck am I going to do? And we're not going to have that at all. So what happened is I finally, my cab's on its way. It's taking me. Now, keep in mind, 3:45 is rush hour in New York. So now, aside from all the plane delays and lack of food, lack of sleep, now I have to go through New York rush hour. The good thing is I wasn't in Manhattan. I was going to Long Island, New York, and I was going to go start shooting immediately. So I literally got off the plane. I put my chef jacket on. The cab picks me up. We go to the studio. Now, the drive is usually 20 minutes. In rush hour, it's an hour and a half. So this is all just kind of pounding up on the top. You guys can kind of start to see. It reminds me of it's like that Jenga game where you've got to pull a little piece of something out, and it's so close to just falling over. And the pieces represent all the different things I had to go through to make this thing happen. And I'll tell you what, I'm real surprised it didn't fall over. I can tell you right now, it was a lot of just faith and works to make this show happen, and it did happen. By the grace of God, it did happen. So when I finally get to the show, I was expecting to see a production crew that was going to be mad, and you know what? They were so cool. So special shout out to Tim, to Anthony, and to Mike, the camera, the sound guys. You guys are absolutely amazing. And you didn't have to work with me. I was in breach of my contract, and you still worked with me and myself, my family, and all of our listeners and all of our fans who are waiting for this amazing show. They truly, truly appreciate it. And that's seriously from the bottom of my heart. So I finally get there. We start shooting. And it was really just hands down such an amazing, amazing experience. I can't even begin to tell you guys how much fun I had doing the show. And everybody just, it's funny because they were like, you know what, Chef, aren't you tired? Aren't you? I was like, I'm a little bit hungry. It was really cool because they had ordered some pizza. I had never in my second, even in 2 trips to New York, had a slice of New York pizza. Let me tell you guys, unbelievable. This big old giant greasy, it was a pepperoni and chicken pizza. You have to fold this thing to keep it from falling over. It was so good. And I can't even be more happy because now I'm like, okay, everybody is on my side. They fully support what we're doing here. We shot 3 shows. We went all the way into 3 o'clock in the morning that day. And I personally was like, I just can't believe that all this stuff has happened. And you know what? I'm still holding up. And one of the guys was so nice. I didn't have to take a cab back to my hotel. Now, when we travel, and this is a lesson for everybody, just because you could save some money on something and you can see some pictures online, I would still say investigate a little bit before you book a hotel. Apparently, the hotel I booked, and I can't even remember the name, which is probably good because I don't want them to come back and try to sue me for telling everybody how horrible the hotel was on the radio. But the bottom line is this: I get there, and the guy who, Anthony, he looks at me, he starts laughing. He's like, "I cannot believe you're staying here." I was like, "You know what? I can't either." I get off, and the owner is this Indian guy. He's a really nice Indian guy. He takes me into the rooms. I couldn't tell the difference between the smoking and non-smoking room. They all smelled the same. They had this high resonating smell of Raid. And it's funny because I've done a lot of things when I go into a hotel room for the first time. I have never moved the TV to see if cockroaches were going to run out from behind it. I was just really, for a guy who was very just lack of sleep and everything, I was really just like, what the heck can I do here? I don't know how to. I couldn't really just find comfort. So I said a prayer, called a cab. I went and booked into the Best Western in Bar Harbor and ended up costing me almost three times the amount of what I was going to spend for that one hotel. But I slept so darn good that I missed my 10 o'clock call time. I ended up showing up at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, they told me like this, and this is the honest truth. We do this for you, chef, because you're a natural. If you were anybody else, don't even think about it. We wouldn't even deal with this right now. So I just thought it was kind of funny, but we shot the show. Everything went smooth as can be. We were able to get out of there in, I think, about 6 hours. We did three shows, which is pretty cool because most people, they said it takes 8 to 12 easy. So thank you so much for, like I said, for your support, guys, because this is not an easy thing to do. Anyone who thinks that doing a television show is easy, it's not. And you get a new respect for, some of the guys on the Food Network. But what I love about what we do at Foodie TV is we go into it. There is no trick photography. There's no, pies that make themselves in 20 seconds. Oh, I put a pie in and look what came out, another pie. That's not the way it works. Everything we make right there in front of you. We really take this very serious, and we want to produce the best streaming cooking network ever in the history of cooking networks and food networks. We will be streaming on Apple TV, Amazon Fire, Google TV, and Roku Box. And I'm telling you right now, the future is very bright for what we're doing at Booty TV. Just like Grilling Ideas, we change the food world every day with every show. The day that they asked me to come on this network was a blessing that I can never really be so. I don't even know how to appreciate this the way I do. I just really want to give the best show every single time that I get on my radio show. You're going to have the best of the best. And that is what the Untamed Chef is all about. And the only way that we win at Grilling Ideas is if we inspire you to go out and cook good. We inspire you to go out and, you know what, make a new friend. Go out and listen to some good music. And that is what it's all about. That is what this networking of what we do on the airwaves is all about. It's about sharing our love for food and having the best time doing it. And without a doubt, I have had a blast since coming onto this network. And it's just, everything is just really, it really has been a blessing. Everybody thinks right away, oh, now chef, you're this celebrity chef now. What are you going to do now? Where are you going to go? Where are you going to move to? And I promise you guys, I'm staying right here in California. I'm staying right here in my beautiful San Joaquin Valley. We have this time to grow this valley. We have been very, very blessed. Starting December 12th, for the rain has come in and it has just got everything soaked. And I don't know why, but I sleep better in the rain, and I think it's amazing because we need the rain. We need the rain so bad. All these crops are all dried up. And more importantly, it's just good to see the grass green again. It really has been down for a long time. So thank you, Lord, for that. So, okay, we get done shooting. I'm like, all right, so the Christmas tree lighting, the big Christmas tree in Rockefeller Center is getting get lit. And I've never seen this ever, especially during Christmas time. So I'm so looking forward to this. I get on the Long Island Railroad. It's a round trip ticket for like $18 on peak hours. I love it. It's or off peak hours, I'm sorry. And it's so fun because you need to take a subway or a train or some kind of other sort of transportation in New York everywhere you go because the streets are so congested with cars and taxis. It's impossible. So I never get a rental car when I go to the big city. So I get on the train. I go to Penn Station. I go have me another slice of New York pizza because I just can't get enough of it. And then I start making my way down to Times Square. And if you've never seen Times Square before, it really is a remarkable sight for sore eyes. I mean, realistically speaking, you just see thousands of people walking around, maybe millions. It looks like thousands from where I'm at. Walking around, they're eating different things on a stick. There are food vendors. It is so alive, this city. Keep in mind, right here, this is like 1:30 in the morning. I went back to my hotel, got my stuff, and then I took off back, into the big city. And I got to tell you guys, it was just so fun. So now I'm looking for the tree. The tree was on, I believe, 52nd Avenue. I'm like on 34th, so I got a lot of walking to do. So when I get to 52nd Avenue, I'm told by a really nice officer, I cannot remember her name, okay, just go right here. Now, here's this is a big thing going on in New York, because what happened was this grand jury, they had just made this decision not to indict this police officer who had pretty much, strangled a guy, to death. It was on YouTube and everything for a long time. So now there were protesters from all over, from what I understood, all over the world that flew in and whatever to get there just to wreak, I don't want to say wreak havoc, but to make their point on what had happened and the decision made, by the grand jury. So now what happens is for the first time, or I think it's the second or third time, I apologize, first time I've ever seen it, the big Christmas tree was unplugged. So now I've tried forever to go and see this tree. I didn't get to hear the concert, which, I didn't mind, really. I got to see that on TV, which was kind of cool. It was so weird. You're watching it on TV, and it's happening 20 miles away from me. I just thought that was so, so cool because, so many things happen, in Manhattan that we've seen, like the New Year's ball. When it drops, it's right there in Times Square. And I could see the New Year's ball, too. It's just a tiny little ball up there. I had no idea. It's hard to believe that thing in less than a month is going to be coming down. There's going to be, 20 million people right there in the middle of the city. So anyways, I'm trying to see this tree. I keep getting detoured because the whole street is completely blocked off. The concert had just ended because you're seeing all these limousines and stretch, navigators, all this different stuff. Black windows look like the CIA or something leaving. So, all these celebrities and everybody are in there. I know Seth MacFarlane was there and Leanne Rimes and Mariah Carey. They're all leaving. Well, I'm trying to get there. I guess it stood lit for about an hour after the concert, and then they turned everything off completely. They unplugged it, got rid of it, and that was it. So, it's like, I'm so disappointed. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I can't believe that. They did all this, trying to make a big deal out of nothing, and I was looking at it the right way. Because it is a very important issue. Lives do matter. So I was like, I'm just going to leave. And I'm frustrated. And I don't know what happened. My suitcase, keep in mind, I'm lugging my suitcase with me. All I have is my carry-on. And I got to say that, Dockers, you make one hell of a good suitcase because those wheels should have been broken. I don't know how they didn't break, but they're still good right now in my closet. So I finally, I'm giving up on this whole trip already as far as going to see anything. I'm ready to go back to the airport and get back home so I can get back to my normal life. And my suitcase, it gets stuck in one of the cracks there. I think it was like one of the on the floor, they have these metal grates where the steam comes out of, and it must have got stuck in there. So when I try to pull it, I look to my right, and I'm telling you guys right now, if you ever wanted an answer for something, you know, because in my mind, I'm like, I can't believe it. This is all I wanted to see. So when it gets stuck, I pull it, and finally when I pull it really hard, and it comes right out. I look to my right, and I am not playing. There is one of the most beautiful crucifixes I've ever seen. And right there, I get my definitive answer that, you know what, Albert, this trip is over, and it's time to go home. Because I'm looking right there. I guess it was a Catholic church right there on the right of where I was at, on Madison Park. And it just really made my day. And I was like, you know what, it's time to go home and be back with my family. And that's exactly what happened. I got a taxi to LaGuardia, because I wasn't going to fly out of JFK now. I was flying out of LaGuardia. I ended up getting dropped off at the wrong airport terminal. The airport terminal I was supposed to get off was American Airlines. I thought it was U.S. Airways. And I go to punch my stuff in to get my boarding pass, and it doesn't work. And I'm like, well, what the heck is going on here? And no, it's American Airlines, which is Terminal B. I'm at Terminal A. So now I got to walk about 5 blocks. About 4, maybe. As cold as I was, as tired as I was, as hungry as I was, it didn't even really matter. So I walk to Terminal B. I have to wait another 2 hours before the terminal opens at 5 o'clock in the morning. So it's barely 3-something when I get there, 3:45. I talk to my beautiful wife here in California. And it's the first time I really got to talk to her, because I really, you know, everybody thinks when I go over there to New York, they get there for having a good time and stuff. And I'm trying to make the best of it. However, I'm a family man. I can't have a good time if my wife and kids are here and I'm over there. I really can't. And that's the honest truth, you know. So I call her. We talk. I finally get my boarding pass. I'm starving. They're making the most amazing hamburgers or cheeseburgers and fries over here at this restaurant. The restaurant doesn't open until 6, so I'm like, okay, do I want to wait an hour to be able to try this food out? And you know what? It's like, I'm not going to wait no time at all, because I just want to get on that plane. And knowing that what's happened already with the airport, where they give my seat away and everything, excuse me, I decide, you know what, I'm going to just go and sit and wait. So I go, I'm waiting at my gate for the airplane to come, the one I'm supposed to get on. And my phone is dying. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to charge my phone. I go to plug my phone in, and I get electrocuted. So like I said, this trip, in terms of what one has to go through to accomplish something, I went through a lot, guys, to make this show happen. So yeah, I got electrocuted a little bit. It was funny. I think I was so tired I didn't even realize. And then some guy looked at me like, hey, I think you just got electrocuted. And lo and behold, I looked down in my, where you put the charger, and it was all black. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So now my charger is broken. It was just really one of these weird ordeals that, like I said, you go through. But I'm so glad I did it. Season 1 of The Untamed Chef is done. I couldn't be more grateful. So a special thanks to all of my amazing sponsors. I represented you well. I used your products on the show. And I professionally, personally, I absolutely love you guys, because this show couldn't happen without the sponsorship backing it. I was supposed to shoot in October, and we ended up pushing all the way to December just because we didn't have enough sponsors to come on board. And I am, like I said, I'm very grateful for the opportunity to share with everyone how amazing and how special this really is, because The Untamed Chef is a show for everybody. It's not just for me. And we have since then really have hit it hard with demonstrations. I've got a YouTube channel now, Albert J. Hernandez, The Untamed Chef on YouTube. There's going to be, it'll be Albert J. Hernandez, The Untamed Chef, and what you'll want to look for are the videos that say Raw and Untamed at, and it'll be different places, because every single time I do a demo, every single time I do a show, whatever we're doing, it's going to be uploaded to my YouTube channel. I want everybody to see it, to understand it, and to definitely appreciate it, because like I said, there's only so much I could show you in one season of my cooking show. But everything else that people have answers, have questions to, I have the answer to. A lot of that's going to be on the YouTube channel. And actually, on my YouTube channel right now, you can see the pilot of the very first, you know, Untamed Chef show, which will be starting in 2015 in January. Everything we do is going to be uploaded on there. I'm trying to, my GoPro Studios, I don't know what the heck is going on here, but I can't seem to get videos uploaded onto my GoPro Studios so that I can get them edited up enough to put them onto YouTube. So I'm kind of disappointed with that. I think what I'm going to have to do is just, you know, do, you know, The Untamed Chef, yada, 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 part one, part two, part three. Instead of being able to compress 30 minutes of footage, I'm going to have to do 11 minutes, 11 minutes, 11 minutes, which I really don't want to do, but I got to get the footage because I got a lot of people that want to see what it is that we're making, what it is that we're doing. But like I said, the most important thing of what I get to do every day is I get to cook, I get to create, I get to be unique as much as possible in the kitchen. And I got 28 orders. I can't believe, maybe sometimes, you know, you bite off more than you can chew. And I don't think I quite did, because I have a plan to make this work. I have 28 dozen orders of tamales that I have to have done in the next 4 days after the 20th, because I'm really trying to get focused on making the most of this opportunity. You know, when I do tamales, I take it very serious. And realistically speaking, it's a time of giving for me. I really get to share this with everybody. And we do a really amazing gourmet tamale. What we do is pressure cooked pork butt with apple cider, maple syrup, and a guajillo chili reduction that I thicken up with xanthan gum. And we mix this into our meat, and it is absolutely to die for. It is so good with a fresh masa tamale that we tie off on the side. It looks like a little candy, a little piece of candy or something. You know, it's funny the way it looks. I'll be posting pictures of that on my Facebook. Albert J. Hernandez, The Untamed Chef on Facebook. My website, www.ajhtheuntamedchef.com. www.grillianideasradio.com. www.foodietv.com. Follow me on Instagram, Untamed Chef 777, no spaces, all one big long word there, because I want everyone to get inspired, especially for Christmas. I want to know what you guys are making. You know, you can always send me an email from my website, and if you have any questions, you know, especially, I know right now this is the time of year where a lot of prime rib is made. You know, everyone wants to bring out the big guns and want to do the prime rib. So I, your Untamed Chef, I'm here to tell you how simple and how easy it is. It really is to make it. It's really not that hard. So what we're going to do, if you're doing, it depends on how big your prime rib is. You always want to make sure that it's seasoned. Both sides. Do not cut on the seasoning. You want to just put a little bit of seasoning. And I got news for everybody, for all my sea salt lovers out there. You have to use 2 to 3 times the amount of sea salt to get the same amount of flavor as a couple pinches of kosher salt. I'm just saying, if you want to really be as healthy as you possibly can, you might want to think about going to the kosher salt and going a little bit lighter on it than you would on a whole bunch of sea salt. Because the bottom line, at the end of the day, salt is salt. And what salt's going to do is dry up your body. And you if you can keep yourself from dehydrating, then, you know, why not? So that's kind of where I'm at with that. But anyways, with prime rib, you want to clean some of the fat off, not all of it, because what makes prime rib so good is the fact that the fat melts into the meat. And the way you do that is always remember, when you put a prime rib in the oven, put a little bit of oil on your pan or your dish, whatever you're baking it in. Just a little bit on the bottom. It doesn't have to be a lot. This will make it keep from the meat sticking to the pan. This is very important. What you want to do next is you want to season both sides heavily. I highly recommend that you get a really, really good seasoning rub. Cooking Sensations Gourmet Seasonings out of Fresno, California. You can find it on my website, but absolutely do the trick there. The chipotle garlic is one I used a lot on my cooking show. I really think that everybody would appreciate it. It is a darn good spice rub. It's one of my favorites, hands down. He doesn't make it with a lot of sugar, so nothing burns. It's just a pure, delicious flavor. So thank you, Joey Mila. I appreciate that. Okay, so what you want to do is put it fat side up so the fat melts into the meat. Now, if you're looking for a medium rare, there's a couple ways we can do this. The very first one is 500 degrees, 10 minutes. 500 degrees at 10 minutes is going to get the crust on the prime rib that you want. We don't want prime rib to have a really thick, crispy kind of crust, you know, one that's seared. It's so delicate and beautiful. It's meat that just melts right into your mouth. And I absolutely love prime rib. I think that's what I'm doing this year yet. My wife doesn't quite know. She's not a big fan of prime rib. But if the au jus has enough wine in it, maybe she'll go for it. So what I like to do is get my prime rib, and I put it in the oven 10 minutes, 500 degrees. After 500 degrees, we go slow and low, everybody, and that's realistically it. If the prime rib needs to be on the table at 6 p.m., then I want that thing to cook at least, you know, for about at least a solid 4 hours. And that's going to be about a rare. Now, what is so cool about prime rib, a rare works absolutely perfect, because if we have a rare prime rib, we can always heat it up again in the au jus. And the way we get our au jus is we take the pan drippings from the prime rib. We're going to add to that beef stock, depending on how big the prime rib is. If you have a prime rib that's going to feed 15 people, I'd highly recommend at least 2 quarts of beef stock. Reduce that down. Add in there 2 cups of red wine. I would say about a cup of fresh garlic, a cup of fresh shallots, thyme, rosemary. Bring all of that down. And what that's going to do for you is make such a beautiful and amazing piece of prime rib with the most amazing au jus that you've ever had. And I've done this recipe many a times before, and I can promise you guys, without a doubt, it's a winner. It tastes good. It looks good. But more importantly, it's right from the heart. And that's what I think about. When I think of prime rib and that kind of good stuff, that's what I think about all the time. We want to make some food that really brings a smile to someone's face. And prime rib, if I had to serve it with something, I would say do it with some roasted fingerling potatoes that you can do, and they're really not that hard, you know, to make. They're really good, and it's real easy. And if you want a secret to doing some fingerlings, I'd say put them in some boiling water. Split them in half first. Boiling water with salt. I use my pressure cooker. I don't recommend anybody using that yet unless you know how to use a pressure cooker. And I cook them for about maybe 10 minutes to where they're just a little bit tender. We finish them off in a hot pan with an amazing olive oil. I recommend Rosenthal's because it's amazing. It's here out of California, and I love it to death. The garlicky olive oil is amazing that they make. And onions, mushrooms, serrano chilies, because you want to have a little bit of pop to your food. So now you got that savory prime rib with that amazing au jus. We have our potatoes. And if you want to do a vegetable, here's one that's very underrated but so easy, and I make this actually on the Untamed Chef. Glazed carrots. very easy. Everybody thinks, oh, my carrots always come out too chewy. And you know what? Get real carrots, first of all. Don't get the little baby ones. Though those are good, they're very passe the way they look. We want to do something that's really different. So what I would recommend is get the carrots. And with the carrots, cook them in water, little bit of salt, and in that water, make sure you put black pepper. There has to be black pepper in the water, so that way the flavor will pop out of those carrots. So, like I said, what you want to do is get the carrots in water, bring it up to a simmer, let them simmer for about 6 minutes, depending on how big they are. If they're really big, I'd say about 7 or 8, but just simmer, no boil. Then what you're going to do is throw them in a hot pan. Make sure you have some of that olive oil in there. And I like olive oil because the smoke point goes up really high. Now, they always say that if you cook olive oil, it actually becomes rancid because you destroy all the good stuff in it. But you don't got to use a lot of it. If you want to put a little bit of fresh olive oil over the top, you can. Now, once the carrots are in the water and they're cooking, pull them out, put them into the hot skillet. You're going to add in there 1 cup of real Canadian maple syrup. And this is very important because if you don't put maple syrup, they're not going to taste glazed at all. You're going to add a little bit more black pepper, salt, chili flakes, and guess what, everybody? That's it. So now you have your prime rib, you have your potatoes, you have your au jus, you have your carrots, you just did your Christmas dinner. It's easy. I'll be putting a lot of videos on YouTube here in the next couple of days that are really going to break down all this food. I just want to say thank you to everybody at Grilling Ideas Radio, Foodie TV. This is your chef, Albert J. Hernandez, the Untamed Chef. I love you guys all. Thank you so much. Come back with us Wednesday morning next week.
Radio was safe. A new kind of radio is on its way. Food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 365 days a year.